You're listening to the 252 podcast. I am your host, Tony Orvett. I have my lovely co-host and my beautiful wife, Kate Orvett, on the podcast.
Hi.
We're going to talk about an issue that's near and dear and personal to us, and that is the topic of addiction. And my beautiful wife here has a pretty awesome redemptive story about addiction. And so we're going to kind of ask her some questions and have her tell a little bit of her story. So, Kate, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about your story on addiction.
Okay. So, this is personal to us. I've been in recovery from addiction to alcohol for almost 9 years now. And the recovery process has interwoven itself into my life so deeply. I'll let you lead where you want this conversation to go. But I just want to say right before we started recording this podcast, I got a text from a young woman asking for help. Had nothing to do with alcohol. And I find myself pulling things that I've learned in my recovery journey to encourage her. And that's just the coolest thing. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. I was just thinking, you know, we're at a point in our lives where, you know, like past episode, we talked about divorce and redemption and divorce. It's kind of funny where we see ourselves now being able to on the regular, and this is not talking about ourselves, this is not bragging, but it's awesome and kind of funny to see God, you know, we're now the older people that people are asking for advice, you know, and it's like,
yeah, the text said I really wanted to reach out to someone older and wiser, and I guess that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, so we'll take that. Thank you, God, for allowing us to continue to learn from our mistakes and continue to be able to give back, because I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about, right?
Yeah. I also think it's really funny that you're like, let's not brag on ourselves, that we were horrible train wrecks and now we're not. Like, that's the bragging. Like, yeah. Oh, we had horrible, horrible problems and now we can help others. So, not to brag.
Not to brag, but we're kind of awesome now. Not in the least bit.
Well, okay, sorry. Let's get back to the...
So, let's talk about alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people have problems with alcohol. So, kind of tell us a little bit about how you got to the place to where you decided, you know what, I do have a problem. I need to get some serious help for this.
Well, I grew up in a family where, and in an environment, a culture where drinking was normal. Like, cocktail hour was normal. Having a glass of wine with dinner was normal. And I think that I started with that and then took it to an extreme. As I got into college, I was a big partier in college. And as my friends from college, as we all got older, I was still a big partier and they were being adults. And I really had a hard time putting that together. I didn't understand why that was happening.
They were drinkers, but they were also still responsible in society.
Right. They weren't, you know, blacking out and having to be told what happened the next day. They weren't, you know, doing the super embarrassing things that I was doing and the really damaging things I was doing. And it finally, I'm going to speed up to the very end. The last couple years of my drinking were really, really tough. I had two small children and I was married and really, you know, not being a good wife in any way, shape, or form. And I was really a mess. And I had heard about 12-step programs and I just knew that's what I needed to do. I was not in church at the time. It never would have occurred to me to go, you know, hit my knees on an altar and ask for help. I just knew I needed to do something. And getting into the 12-step program, once I hit my bottom, which involved a lot of vomiting and unpleasantness, and I knew I needed to be done. I knew it was time. That's what actually got me on my knees, is the 12-step program taught me that I needed to surrender to a higher power, which then took me to God, which then took me to Christ, which then took me to salvation in the church, and everything's been uphill since then. Lots of rocky ups and downs, but my life is so much better now than I could even have begun to imagine. when I was drinking.
So, 9 years sober.
Mm-hmm.
You've been going through the 12-step program, and that's incredible, and I'm so incredibly proud of you. And going, still very dedicated to that.
Yeah, I still go. That's a big question. I think I've seen some people will like trade that in for church or say like I don't need to do this because I'm in church, and I am in church, and I'm extremely active in church, and I'm at church a lot. And I have a very close relationship with God, but for me it's important to remember where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that going back to continue to attend 12-step meetings and to serve at 12-step meetings, because that's also where you find other people who are struggling. So if you are struggling with any type of addiction, I encourage twofold, seeking help from your church, but also looking into a 12-step program. And that's a personal endorsement based on my personal experience.
I think that's so important. I think it's key to be plugged in to people that are in the same season of life that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being plugged into church has the opportunity to continue to grow you spiritually, but then also dealing with the physical side of it as well, and getting around like-minded people who are trying to get something that you want. It's not a small group, but it's almost like it's being around people that have the same goals as you that can help you get to the goal that you have or maintain the goal that you have. And I think that's so important, and it's something that I've been so inspired by when I have gone to meetings with you, just to see the level of commitment to getting to something that you want. And I think that's so important for those, like Kate said, those out there that are dealing with something, no matter what it is. Get help, reach out to somebody, tell somebody else, because you were not created to do life alone. You were created mm-hmm. to do life in groups and to have relationships with other people. You know, in the Bible it said that God created us in his image. He created us to have a relationship with us. And so from the very beginning, God laid out a plan where he set it up for there to be more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're struggling with something, tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. And recovery from addiction is not, it's not a solo project. It's not a matter of willpower. And it's not just between you and God, because God put people on this earth to help you and to serve you, so that you can recover and then help and serve others. And that's been my experience, is that I could not have done it without the support of other alcoholics who were trying to get well.
Yeah, I think with addiction, it's such a personal thing. There are a lot of addictions to things that some people may never ever know about unless that person were to come out and say it. And that's where the enemy wants to have you, is to have you alone and isolated. And so if you're struggling and you're not seeking help, the enemy is winning.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't hiding anything. I was sloppy, right? Like it was obvious that I had a problem. But if you are in a position, if anyone's in a position where their secret is still a secret, you don't have to wait for the walls to come crashing down. You don't have to wait for the bottom to drop out before you get help. You know, tell someone and start getting support and asking God. If you're not sure what to do, ask God for direction.
So do you think that, like we said earlier, 9 years sober, that's incredible. When you kind of tackle one addiction, is the mentality, is it the addiction to one certain substance, or is it an addictive mindset or an addictive kind of personality, to where once you get one thing kind of solved, you really have to be intentional about other things that could creep into your life to try to take over?
Well, that's a really good question, because the disease of alcoholism is twofold, and that's that it is an allergy of the body. So when I take a drink versus when Tony takes a drink, my body reacts in a different way, which is why I drink alcoholically, which is why I drink until I throw up or pass out or black out, and which is unhealthy and bad. But I just, once I put alcohol in my body, I don't have a choice. So there's that allergy, which is, allergy means abnormal reaction. So I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol when I drink it. So I could just stay away from alcohol and it would be a non-issue, but there's also a mental element. And that is that it's also an obsession of the mind. So even though I've stepped away from alcohol and I can physically withdraw from it, I still have that obsession of the mind. And if I am working a program or just working to not drink alcohol, that's great, but there's still going to be other obsessions. So it's really easy. That obsession doesn't go away. So it's really easy to try and fill it with something else. Mm-hmm. So when I quit drinking, I started smoking cigarettes again. I hadn't smoked cigarettes in years, but I just felt like, oh my gosh, I have to fill this with something else. Like I had to do something and this is less bad. And I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, but I still find that I have other things that I'm super reliant on as an avoidance technique. Mm-hmm. And the thing about alcoholism is that alcoholics drink to change the way they feel. And I have found, and it took a long time to find this, that I can do lots of things to change the way I feel. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. I can sit and scroll through Instagram for 3 hours and that's going to change the way I feel. Not in a good way. Mm-hmm. I can eat cookies until I feel sick, which is going to change the way I feel, but not in the good way. I can go for a run, which is never what I want to do, but it'll change the way I feel. Or I can just open my Bible or pause in prayer, and that's going to change the way I feel. And that's a lot easier than running. So yes, those other addictions do sneak in. But for me, what I realized, and I didn't know this until I asked for help. I didn't know this until other people who struggled with the same problems I had told me that what I had in my life was a God-sized hole that I was trying to fill with alcohol. And I had never heard that before. I had never thought of it that way before. And when I heard it, that made perfect sense. So I went from being a believer in nothing, you know, universe, energy of the universe. I don't even know. Like I just really nothing to focusing on, you know what? There is a God. And that God cares about me. And that God put me here for a purpose. And then that hole began to be filled. And it's been a long process and it's not been perfect. And I've made a lot of mistakes. But I have grown so much for every day that I've put together. And, you know, the number of years I have sober is nothing to brag about because I could pick up a drink tomorrow. Just like anybody, any Christian can backslide, right? Any person can backslide, but any Christian can backslide if they don't do what they need to do. If you are like the best Christian ever, right? And you're going to church and you're serving and you're reading your Bible every day. And then you're like, you know what? I don't like getting up early and I don't want to read my Bible. And I've already read it like 4 or 5 times. So I'm just, you know, I'm not going to read it anymore. Or if, you know, God already heard me, I don't need to say my prayers anymore. When you start to cut those things out, your relationship with God is going to suffer. And that's my experience too, is that if I have a God who got me sober, you know, I didn't do it of my own willpower. God did it for me. And if I don't keep up that relationship with the God who got me sober, then why would God keep me sober? Mm. I got to check in with him every day. And I got to fulfill my purpose for him to truly be living my best life on this earth. And fulfilling my purpose means that I continue to go to 12-step meetings. I continue to reach out to newcomers. I continue to touch base with people. And it doesn't, like we were saying at the beginning, like it doesn't just have to be people also struggling with the same addictions I had. I found that as I've been able to grow and develop my relationship with God, he's giving me gifts that I can use in other capacities as well.
Yeah. The solution is the same no matter what addiction it is. It's that God-sized hole in your heart.
Yeah, no matter what the addiction is, and from something huge. I'm talking about if you are strung out on heroin, or if you are not paying enough attention to your kids because you're too busy looking at your phone, God is the answer. God is the answer to the very, very tiny and to the very, very impossibly huge. If you are on the precipice of death, asking for God's help can pull you back.
I think that's what we want you to take away from listening to this podcast episode, is that if you are suffering from addiction, or if you are alone, if you feel like there is no hope, you can say a prayer. We're about to pray, just asking God to come and help you, and seek out someone, seek out a friend, somebody that you trust, and just tell them what you're dealing with. Because once you allow that out of your heart and allow somebody else to help carry that burden, that's the first step to, that's the second step to the healing process. The first step is asking God for help and admitting the wrong and wanting help.
And remember that repentance is just changing direction. And I think a lot of us need a direction change. Even if it's not a full 180, maybe we just need to take a turn.
Yeah.
And if you are listening to this and you feel like you don't have a trusted friend you can ask for help, please get our contact info from the show notes, send us an email, and get in touch with us, because we can use, you know, we can help you find some resources to get you connected where you are.
Yeah.
Hope is not lost, and you're not alone.
Yeah. Just don't ever forget that. You're never alone. Well, let's pray.
Let's pray.
Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for this platform of podcasts, just to be able to reach and talk to others about our story, to share our story in hopes that other people may find helpful tips, or just help them to find out that they're not alone, that they're not doing life alone, that they're not going through something alone, Father, that there are other people out there who are going through the same things, or who have gone through those things, that can help. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the hope that we have of eternal life with him, through him, Father, through his sacrifice, and that no matter what we go through, no matter the tests or the trials that we go through, that you are the solution, that allowing us to live on this earth and to be surrounded by great people, and people of all types of backgrounds and all types of stories, are there to help and are there to stand in agreement and to stand in the gap when those people and when we are having problems. So Father, we're thankful for people, we're thankful for groups, we're thankful for love, we're thankful for you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.